Hello and welcome into the KE Report. I'm your host, Shad Margwitz, and I'm chatting with Craig Hemke, publisher of tfmetalsreport.com, and we're going to be talking precious metals, the Fed talk that's upcoming in Jackson Hole, and what all this means to the gold price and the sector as a whole. So, Craig, as we get ready to move into the Jackson Hole event tomorrow, and all eyes are on Jerome Powell, I wonder if it's going to be a nothing burger where he just does an acceptance speech, or if we'll actually get something of substance about the tapering plans, when, how much, and what their timeline is.
Well, Shad, I think it's going to be somewhere in between, in that you're going to get a little bit of something. I think that's pretty clear now, especially just if you followed just this week alone. It looks like everybody's kind of getting marshaled into singing from the same page of the hymnal. Here today on the 26th, we had not only Goon Bullard from St. Louis come out and say, oh no, we need to be tapering right now and get it done as soon as possible. But even more importantly, I think, was this guy Harker out of Dallas, who was one of the first to call for tapering. And then late last Friday, about the time everything was shutting down, he comes out with some comments saying, oh, I don't know about this Delta variant. We might want to put this tapering stuff on hold, and that's all part of why the dollar was down 50 cents on Monday and gold was up $22. But then now here, just what, 6 days later, all of this within a week, here comes Harker again saying, oh, no, we checked around. Everybody feels pretty good about it. We're handling things are okay. So I think we should go back to taper. It's like, what? What, I mean, is it really this disjointed? I mean, I know all of these goons, they love the publicity they get. They love being able to get quoted on Bloomberg and see that they can move the markets and stuff like that. No doubt people like Cash Gary are, you know, are publicity hounds. But I think what you're getting now is everybody getting marshaled into all singing from the same hymnal, like I said. And so I think if that's the case, then what you got today was just a glimpse of what you're going to get tomorrow. And tomorrow, Friday, I mean, Shad, check this out. 7:30 Eastern, okay? And Powell's not due to actually speak at Jackson Hole until 10 o'clock Eastern. And who knows if his remarks will be released, you know, 10 minutes early or something like that. But at 7:30 Eastern, you get Goon Bostic on CNBC. 45 minutes later, Goon Harker will be on CNBC. 15 minutes after that, at 8:30 Eastern, here comes Goon Bostic again. Then in between, you got personal income and spending numbers, core PCE, a lot of very important data. But then after that, still an hour before Powell, you get Goon Harker on Bloomberg, Goon Mester on CNBC, both at 9 Eastern. Here comes that Kaplan I just mentioned at 9:15 on Bloomberg, and here comes Bullard again at 9:30. I mean, that's what, one, two, three, four, what, six Fed all before Powell? I mean, so clearly, and again, taking today as a hint, they are now coalescing around a singular message. And if I'm right about this, you don't even have to wait for Powell at 10. Just get up early in the morning and listen to Bostic at 7:30 Eastern, and you'll know which direction they're going. What that's going to be, though, I think Powell understands at the end of the day is pragmatic enough to know that they can't taper and they certainly can't do it quickly. You're going to get something like, well, by October or by before the end of the year, we'll come up with a schedule. Maybe he'll even give some specifics about, well, we're going to do mortgage-backed securities first, something that Powell has reluctantly dragged into, but that gives him all kinds of wiggle room. You know, kind of crab walking this whole thing where you're moving forward but moving sideways, because God knows where this is all headed. And one last thing, Shad, this news today is just devastating for Americans out of Afghanistan, with at least 12 service members killed, 11 Marines and one Navy medic. The political situation in the U.S. could very well get out of control once we get past Labor Day. And combine that, all this taper stuff, the Delta variant, you know, and the slowdown, that's the stagflation, debt ceiling stuff. I think Powell is going to want to leave himself some wiggle room. So you'll get a little something tomorrow, I guess, wrapping all the way this around to where I started. But I don't think it'll be significant. And in the end, I think what I've been expecting is all along is what's going to happen, kind of a sell the rumor, buy the news event for gold and silver.
Yeah, I often wonder if they bring out these different Fed governor goons just to try different trial balloons and throw different ideas out in the market and see what kind of a reaction they get, because they're often completely at odds with one another, and then they will circle the wagons and come to this main thesis that they all agree on right before a key event. But I tend to agree with you. I think that Fed is going to give themselves some wiggle room by parading all these guys out tomorrow morning before the Jackson Hole event, but then also pushing everything towards that September Fed meeting where maybe we'll get a little more clarity.
Yeah.
And as far as the geopolitical events, yeah, it's a sad day for sure. We'd rather see gold moving on fiscal policies than on geopolitical events. But as we note, it's an odd time for them to start tapering with the Delta variant, with all these balls in the air, with the debt ceiling. Seems like an odd time to pick to finally say, hey, after waiting since the great financial crisis to now, we may finally start by dialing back our bond purchasing. What do you think would happen if they actually have to reverse course again and flip-flop one more time?
Well, and Chad, let me back up to something you said there, because I had a couple of people on my site today say, I hate to see gold go up on geopolitics and, you know, stuff like that. So, of course, we all do. But that's actually, I don't think that had any impact at all today. And this ties into what to expect tomorrow. The bond market sold off pretty sharply yesterday, globally. Even German bonds sold off yesterday. And gold was down $17. Bond market initially sold off today on Bullard and Kaplan. But then it reversed. 10-year note got to 137.5 on the yield as a high today, which was up like 3.5, a little more than 3 basis points. It fully reversed and went out at 134. And that is why gold rallied back from being down, like $9 or $10, actually up a couple of dollars. It's the same reason, like I said, why gold sold off yesterday. And so, again, let's fit some of these pieces together. Bond market reverses and rallies. Gold actually moves higher. And I think the data has shown you can't just go, well, the shares were stronger today, and that means metal's going to rally tomorrow. That's like an urban legend. However, I will point out that in the final half hour trading today, the shares did perk up. Worth noting that you've got the bond market rallying, gold rallying, and the shares perking up on the day before whatever Powell's going to say. So maybe that gives more credence to this notion that gold's actually going to buy the news. We'll see. In terms of what happens if the Fed has to reverse, I think that, you know, if they announce some kind of taper policy and then has to draw back from that, I think that's exactly what Powell wants to avoid. You know, it's just another pullback of the curtain to show that they can never get out of this now, since they started down this path, you know, 13 years ago. And so your argument also just kind of augurs for this notion of Powell wanting to leave himself lots of wiggle room. He'll give you a little something tomorrow to make it seem like they're in control and worried about inflation, but I don't think it'll be anything of great significance. And again, one last thing, Powell's the one who just last year at Jackson Hole, changed the inflation policy from just points in time to average inflation. And as part of his Jackson Hole speech last year, was worried about deflation and deflationary expectations leading to deflation, which lead to more deflationary expectations, lead to more deflation, kind of like Japan. I mean, that was just a year ago. And so what he may try to do is just give a couple of crumbs tomorrow to try to control inflationary expectations and move very slowly. I think that's what we'll see.
Yeah, very interesting what a difference a year makes and yeah, how quickly people have flip-flopped. Speaking of a year ago, gold was at $2,089 last August, and we've had about a one-year correction. However, I would note that the double bottom we saw in March at 1673 and 1677, gold did claw its way back up. It stayed above that 1760 resistance level and closed there 2 weeks in a row. And if you look at the chart that you sent over to me, it's interesting to note that gold is finally taking back its 50-day moving average, barely, but it still has some work to do to get above the 100-day and the 200-day moving average. What other levels are you looking at, or what other ideas do you have when we just look at the gold price as far as what you want to see to get a little momentum going in a more positive direction?
Yeah, I tell you, Chad, we've had the rug pulled out from us, what, 3 times so far this year when it looked like, okay, here we go, you know, early in January, again at the end of May, and even really just a couple of weeks ago at the end of July and early August, it looked like, okay, you know, worse is over. Now we're and then boom, you know, that changes. But gold's never going to zero, and it's not going to infinity either. So every downtrend eventually is going to end, and every uptrend eventually ends as well. And so that it will end, this downtrend will end too. It's gone a lot longer than I thought it would, but nonetheless, it will end. You know, will it be obvious that it has ended by tomorrow or next week or next month? Yeah, maybe. And a lot of what happens tomorrow and the reaction to Powell is going to determine that. You look at the chart, like you said, you can clearly see kind of a grand double bottom at 1680 from March, and again back on that Sunday debacle a couple of weeks ago. But even March was a double bottom on the daily chart at 1680. Went down there in early March, went down there in late March, and then again went down there on Sunday the 8th. So if we can somehow end this time, and I'm not saying we will, but if we can, it starts by moving above the 50-day, which we did back on Monday, and now we've kind of coalesced around it, finding support at 1780, but also at that 50-day, which is like 1794, which is where we are right now. If we can move higher, and as you can see on this chart, there's a trend line that goes back to May. We've got to get above there. That's about 1805. But then you're talking the 100-day and the 200-day, and if you can extrapolate this forward in your mind's eye, again, maybe this is an optimistic way to view things, you know, and we're all hoping that gold goes higher and the shares go higher. Well, what if gold does go higher from here? Beginning in September, I guess. God, how many times have I said this, I guess? But we get it back after Labor Day, get moving toward the FOMC, we get all this other uncertainty going. Maybe gold moves higher in September. And eventually does get above 1820 and does get above the July highs above 1840. Well, all of a sudden, the chart's going to look pretty good. And the 50-day is going to turn up. And it's going to cross up through the 100-day. And if we can keep going, the 100-day is going to cross up through the 200-day. And all of a sudden, by the end of September, the chart's going to look fantastic. No, it doesn't now. But again, you look at this chart in your mind's eye looking forward, you can see where that could happen. So the key levels to watch tomorrow will be staying above the 50-day. Any close that begins with an 18 will look and feel good. But man, if we could somehow really rally tomorrow and get decisively above 1800, close the highs of the week, that could set us up for a pretty good week next, with next week being the employment report again, and then everybody coming back from Labor Day, end of summer the following week, and then the next FOMC, and maybe we could finally get some traction. But it all depends on the reaction tomorrow.
Yeah, and then sometimes it just takes price action itself to start getting a little momentum feeding on itself.
Yeah.
But just in the, you know, kind of as we wrap up here, one of the thoughts we've had with a few different analysts, newsletter writers, fund managers is for there to be a meaningful run back up to that all-time high of 2089 from last year and to really get above 1920 or 1960, a couple other resistance points up above, they see either some kind of a Fed policy decision like a early hiking cycle or an admission that inflation is running hotter or a reversal in the tapering if it doesn't go well, or they see a pullback in the general markets as something that would drive generalist money into the safe haven flows of gold and silver. Do you think there's any other big macro things on the horizon that would actually get a meaningful trend going from generalist investors coming back into the precious metal sector?
Well, it's really that combination of things, because it seems that at the end of the day, the buyers of gold and gold futures believe this transitory stuff. I mean, we had a very interesting data point today about German gold demand in the first half of this year being the highest it's been since 2009. Well, why is that? Because real interest rates in Germany are like negative 4% on the 10-year bond. Okay, it's yielding less under zero and inflation's almost 4%. So you got a negative real rate of 4%, negative 4%. Negative real rates is like the greatest correlation to gold prices in history, 95%. And it makes sense. You know, why would you want to own euros if they're being devalued and inflation is soaring? Why wouldn't you want to own gold, even with the negative storage costs and insurance costs and stuff like that? Negative nominal rates, negative real rates, the most positive fundamental for gold ever. And it's been completely ignored this year here in the U.S. and in COMEX gold. But apparently not so much in Germany for physical gold. And so what's eventually going to have to happen is this notion that inflation is transitory, and this ignoring of the same level of negative 4% real rates in the U.S., that has to end. And, one thing for people that people need to keep in mind, and you may think I'm just, you know, some people think I'm just pumping sunshine, but we were in a range like this last year. Maybe early in the summer, we were between 1680 and 1780, and people were waiting for something to happen. And then in the course of 8 weeks, gold went from 1780 to 2080. And silver was even more dramatic. I mean, it hadn't traded above 20 in 6-7 years, but it went from 19 to 29 in 3 weeks. So what often happens, and that's an example of, you know, everybody believing this transitory thing and not paying attention to real rates until all of a sudden everybody does. And what wasn't important suddenly becomes really important, and moves happen really, really quickly. So I don't know what event it will take to get people to realize this is not transitory, and that the Fed's not stepping away, and nominal rates have to stay low, and real rates have to stay negative. If you know, that's definitely the Fed's plan. But once that realization hits again, like it, you know, did last summer for a little while, things could move pretty quick.
Yeah, we said what a difference a year can make, but wow, what a difference 8 weeks can make. And these things can really move with rocket fuel when there's a shift in the narrative and a shift in the mindset from investors, and they start realizing, hey, maybe I'm not positioned or I'm not protected against some financial instability, and maybe things aren't as rosy as we thought. So there's still the potential that the precious metals could surprise people in the second half of this year. We'll keep our eyes on the Fed tomorrow and what they do, not just at Jackson Hole, but in September at the meeting. And we always appreciate getting your thoughts, Craig, here on the KE Report. I'll put a link to your site, the tfmetalsreport.com, down below this editorial. People should check out Craig and his thoughts. He has all kinds of interesting missives and thoughts and musings throughout the week. And we just appreciate you spending a few minutes here with us here at the KE Report.
Shad, it's always a pleasure. Good luck tomorrow. And it'll be interesting to see what we discuss next week.